What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. All right, I'm going to be all over the place in this hour. I'm going to kind of go bouncing all around between a bunch of different topics this hour just because I got a lot of little scraps. They don't really tie together. And I always try to tie the show and the content together, like hour to hour, but also over the entire 3 hours. And usually never successful. But I try, just for the record, I try. So did you know that today is the 248th anniversary or birthday, I don't know, anniversary of the Halifax Resolves? Did you know that? If you are new to North Carolina, or maybe you've never looked at the North Carolina flag too closely, which I totally get, it's not the coolest of the flags of the states. And I don't mean that, I'm not trying to denigrate the flag or anything. I'm just saying, you know, there are some flags that look cooler than others. Like South Carolina's flag is a pretty cool looking flag. North Carolina flag, not so much. It's kind of like me personally, not a fan of the Maryland flag. Awful. I think it's terrible. I just hate it. Anyway, on the North Carolina flag, there are a couple of dates, and one of them is April 12th, because that's when the Halifax Resolves, which preceded the Declaration of Independence, was drawn up. A document unique to North Carolina, it helped to catalyze the American call for independence, and it secured North Carolina's spot as a first in freedom state. That's why we got that on the license plates as well. The Halifax Resolves was a resolution. It was adopted by the 4th Provincial Congress of the province of North Carolina. We weren't even a state. The resolves were simply entered into the congressional minutes and as such are not signed documents. There's no signatures on there, which was probably beneficial. So they didn't have anybody's name to go after and, you know, murder them for signing it. After adoption, the Secretary of the Congress, James Green, sent copies of the resolves to the North Carolina delegation assembled with the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia for execution. The colonial assemblies desired self-governing status within the British Empire in early 1776. However, North Carolina was an exception. The Halifax Resolves ordered North Carolina's delegation to the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia not only to form foreign alliances, but also to seek and vote for independence from Great Britain. That was in the Resolves. This action made North Carolina the first of the colonial governments to call for total independence. As such, it became a factor leading to the writing of the Declaration of Independence, which was adopted on July 4th, 1776. This is a piece at the Carolina Journal by Catherine Zender with several quotes from Dr. Troy Kickler, who is a senior fellow and managing director of the North Carolina History Curriculum Project at the John Locke Foundation. He's the founding director of the North Carolina History Project, and he's the editor at NorthCarolinaHistory.org. And he points out, notably, the first battle in the War for Independence. Do you know when that was? Do you know what it was? I always thought Lexington and Concord, right? Or Concord? Lexington and Concord? Concord? I don't even know. I know you don't say the one here in North Carolina. You don't say that Concord. But that's because of the Civil War. You never say Concord in Southern state. But anyway, February, I kid. But so I think it's Concord up in New Hampshire, right? Lexington and Concord, and it doesn't matter. I always thought that was the first battle. Moore's Creek Bridge, February 1776. That's where the Whigs beat the Loyalists. The Whigs were the Patriots. The Loyalists were the pro-British people. When the 4th Provincial Congress reconvened in Halifax on April 4th, the victory was fresh in their minds. And according to the North Carolina History Project, a committee was created to explore further measures that should be taken to defend the colony against King George III and the Brits and preserve the state of the colony. So that committee met for the first time on April 8th. You had guys like Cornelius Harnett, Alan Jones, Thomas Burke, Abner Nash, right? They were appointed as acting members. And then 4 days later, the committee submitted the Halifax Resolves for consideration to the provincial Congress. And by unanimous vote, the Halifax Resolves empowered the delegates in Philadelphia to cooperate with delegates from other colonies to declare independence from Great Britain. North Carolina, says Dr. Troy Kickler, North Carolina was the first colony to do that. The Halifax Resolves were published and distributed throughout the colonies so people could follow the laudable example of the Halifax Resolves. The historic document directed the state to declare independence, join with other colonies, and to reserve the right of North Carolina to create a constitution. There are two copies of the resolves. There's one at the federal level, one at the state level. The provincial Congress unanimously adopted the resolves, and then a copy went off to the Continental Congress. By the way, did you know there was a different Tea Party? There was another Tea Party besides the one up in Boston. Did you know this? It was in Edenton. I'd never heard this either. 1774, October 25th, 1774, the Edenton Tea Party, one of the first political acts led by women in U.S. history. It was at the home of Penelope Barker, the wife of Thomas Barker, who was the treasurer of the province of North Carolina, and it is believed that Mrs. Barker convinced about 50 women to stop drinking tea and buying English clothing. And then they signed a petition. I mean, okay, right. So they, all right, it's not quite as dramatic as the throwing of the tea into the water and all of that. Okay. But you got to remember back then, before the 1770s, women did not sign petitions, right? It was unheard of. And that was the that political action was a political first. So that's today, 248 years ago, the Halifax Resolves in North Carolina, directing us to break up with the UK, with Britain. It's not you, it's us. We don't love you no more. We're out. Let's see. Oh, how far we've come. Members of a country line dance team that were supposed to perform at a hoedown in Seattle. There's a lot wrong with that sentence. They got booted because they were wearing patriotic clothing. The country line dance team, called the Borderline Dance Team, they do country line dancing, and they were set to perform at the Emerald City Hoedown. That was in Seattle last weekend. And they were told they were not welcome because the organizers said that their American flag-themed shirts were making some attendees feel, quote, triggered and unsafe. Really? You are at a country music line dancing hoedown. And it's the American flag that made you feel unsafe? I mean, sir or ma'am or they, them, this is a hoedown. It was right before the Borderline Dance Team was to take the stage that the event's organizers, Rain County Dance Association, so I guess Rain County is a county in Washington. I don't know. It makes sense, unless that's like a joke, like, oh, it's Rain County because it always rains. I don't know. I've never been. Don't really care. They effectively asked the military-supporting dance group to leave. The association describes itself as an LGBTQ+ nonprofit social dance organization driven by its members. So the Rain County Dance Association is an LGBTQ+, and apparently if you're LGBTQ+, the American flag is triggering. The American flag makes you feel unsafe. Did you know that? That's one of the, sorry, like, I guess that's one of the deals. part of the deal. If you're going to be part of the LGBTQ plus, I don't know about the two IAs and whatever, but for those five letters and the plus, like that's part of the deal. You cannot feel safe seeing red, white, and blue, stars and bars. Then there was the Borderline Dance co-founder Lindsay Stamp said that one of the Rain County Dance Association's board members spoke on behalf of the organization, explaining that it was a small number of convention goers who had expressed being upset over the uniforms. Those uniforms consisted of shirts with stars on one side and stripes on the other. They were not official prints of the American flag, even. They were just stars and stripes on two different sides of the shirt. I got a pretty good idea what this looks like, too, right? On their Facebook page, the Borderline Dance Group said they had several claims for this reasoning, mostly associated with the situation in Palestine. What? So, really? Okay. And the trans community in America. So now LGBTQ plus means pro-Palestine. Did you know this too? Sorry, that's the deal also, I guess. You got to be triggered and you got to feel unsafe by the stars and bars whenever you see it, which is going to be difficult in America because heads up, that flag is everywhere. Like, that flag is on every building, like made of marble, every building made of like the big columns and stuff. Yeah, county buildings, federal buildings, all the buildings that the Chaz Chop has not taken over yet or firebombed, they all have that American flag on them. So, my gosh, I can't imagine walking down the street, being triggered every single time you see that flag. Like, you wouldn't get anywhere. They say at first they were told that, you know, you're going to be booed, yelled at, and likely a lot of the audience would walk out. And so the Borderline Dance Company was like, yeah, we're fine with that. So then they were told, okay, you got to remove your shirts and perform in street clothes, which they were like, we didn't bring street clothes. We just drove here. The organizers would give them some t-shirts from years past. So you can wear these t-shirts or, you can not perform at all. And so they were like, see ya. Another team that was scheduled to dance at the convention also did not perform because they were also wearing red, white, and blue. That was called the West Coast Country Heat Dancers. So it's not even the stars and bars now. It's just red, white, and blue colors. You're not even allowed to wear the colors. Like, I'm trying to think, like, oh my gosh. Giants fans are screwed. Right? The New York Football Giants, aren't those their colors? What about the Guardians or whatever that the Cleveland Indians used to be called? Sorry. They are called now because they used to be Atlanta Braves. Aren't their colors red, white, and blue? I can still say Braves, right? They haven't renamed their team yet, right? Okay. These people are nuts. The Stars and Stripes. It's actually, but apparently I was saying Stars and, I don't even know why I was saying Stars and Bars. Stars and Stripes. Dun, 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 dun. All right. Yeah, Stars, yeah. The American flag colors is what the line dancing troupe was wearing in Seattle that got them kicked out of the event. Not the Stars and Bars. That's apparently that's the Confederate flag, which that would make a little bit more sense if you get kicked out. I'm not saying they should have. I'm just saying it would make more sense. Okay. Anyway. Yes. So I apologize. That was not correct. Let me get to some, hang on a second. Let me get to some messages. Before I do that, I got to make sure I'm ready to go with Joe Bruno's series. Here he is. Series of tweets there. All right, good. All right, so I got some messages on various topics. So yesterday, you know, we talked about Sheriff Gary, Not My Fault McFadden. And I got a bunch of responses on that and about how he was blaming these state jail inspectors for being racist, and that's why they were targeting his jail, not all the dead people that have been turning up in his jail. That's not the reason why. He wants to be able to, like, give the state a better set of rules by which they should measure the Mecklenburg County Jail. Because whenever the state does it, by their rules, our jail doesn't come out looking so hot. And so he doesn't like the negative press that he gets for that. So he would like a different set of criteria that he wrote. Okay. So I've got some messages on this. Cindy says, thanks for doing the story on McFadden. He has been operating under his own set of rules since he got elected. He struts around like some mafia boss, and he does not comply with other agencies whose job it is to keep us safe, like ICE. I love how he reframes the concept of not obeying state law as him just trying to be different than other sheriff's departments. Time for him to go. He doesn't care if he puts Charlotte at risk, if he gets likes from all the activist groups. Right. Well, what is his incentive structure, right? He has different incentives than other sheriffs around the state do. Let me see here. Someone should give McFadden a copy of the book Extreme Ownership by Jacko Willink, a former Navy SEAL leader. Let me see here. Sorry, just scrolling through, trying to make sure I got everybody. Thank you. Thank you for the OJ compilation yesterday. Norm MacDonald was a hero. Right. And there are some people who don't understand the whole point of the Norm MacDonald jokes. I got one emailer who was like, you know, that's not funny, making fun of dead people. Like, no, it's mocking O.J. Simpson and the people that were giving him a pass. Mary says, in addition to what you said today about the Hamas's propaganda war, don't forget what one of its co-founders' sons said in an interview recently, that most Palestinians are Hamas. Yeah, in case you're not aware, one of the founding members of Hamas had a son who was also in Hamas, but now has left Hamas and has been going around doing speeches, talking about what Hamas is. He's a powerful speaker, and he basically blows up the propaganda and the narratives that are being advanced about Hamas by communists, Marxists, leftists, the ceasefire crowd, the Students for Palestine Justice and all that. Latinx is officially pronounced Latinx. Oh, okay. It's too late now. They're retiring Latinx for Latines or Latines. Pretty sure they are unaware why the founders reject. Oh, yeah, that's from the stupid Asheville Buncombe League of Women Voters. That's the name of the organization. The stupid Asheville Buncombe League of Women Voters. I kid. It's just League of Women Voters. No, I'm kidding. No, it's just the Asheville Buncombe League. No, they're like, oh, we need to do national vote, national popular vote and all this stuff. And it's like, no, we don't have a national vote. We're not set up to have a national vote for president. We have 50 state elections all on the same day. That determines the presidency. Anyway, I had some emails to Pete at thepetecalendarshow.com. Right, here's John, Stars and Bars. Versus Stars and Stripes refers to the American flag. Stars and Bars refers to the Confederate flag. So you're probably getting quite a few people all riled up. it was not my intention. Jay says, it is amazing that there are so many people who do not know that there has never been a country called Palestine. So I don't capitalize it on purpose. Dennis says, thank you for covering the Victor David Hansen analysis earlier. In my opinion, he has always hit the nail on the head when it comes to U.S. politics and the consequences we are all experiencing as a result. You, my friend, are also on the top of my list of news personalities that see the truth that the rest of us deplorables are witnessing. Going to spend this weekend watching the Masters and trying to escape from all the lionomics. As Claringe Jean-Pierre would say, let me make myself clear. Look, no, it's good, Dennis. I appreciate the email and the kind words there. It's always good to unplug. You know, take some time off. All this stuff will still be swirling, right? The poop storm will still be raging when you return. He who stops to sharpen his axe cuts more wood. Do, 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 do. Jim says, I can claim the same. Okay, so I can claim this. So there's a fella who was, his name is Dick Stork, born in the Bronx, 1942, the son of the late Philip and Mabel Stork. He was raised in Charlotte and became a naturalized Southerner. I think you can claim the same, Pete. I keep the station playing all the time in my house. It's out of Wake Forest. I just heard this. Not surprisingly, his voice was distinctive. So I guess he was an announcer, Dick Stork, a naturalized Southerner. There you go. Well, look, I got here as soon as I could, and I stayed. Now, I was told when I first arrived by one of my old roommates who was from South Carolina. And by the way, not for nothing, just a heads up for all you North Carolinians that think I'm never going to be good enough because I'm from originally New York, even though I came down here immediately. That people in South Carolina think you guys are Yankees too. I'm not sure you're aware of this, but I am aware of this because when I landed in South Carolina, that's what they told me. And when I said, well, what if I, marry a Southern woman, which I have, but if I have kids, would they be Southerners? And they said, no. I said, well, why not? That doesn't make any sense. If you're just basing it purely on geography of where I was born. And they said, well, just because the cat has babies in the oven doesn't make them biscuits. I said, well, that's fair. I mean, that's a fair point. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Got more messages here. Okay, wow. Okay, Scott, this is like 7 pages. I'm going to have to go read that later. This is from Mike, who says, one has to wonder regarding Sheriff McFadden's explaining away all of his violations from the state. How about all those restaurants that Mark Garrison finds that earn the 89 or 82 or even worse score on their routine inspections, right? How many inspectors take restaurant managers' explanations into consideration and then change the inspection scores? That is a great analogy, right? I worked in restaurants for like a decade, and the inspector comes in, and if he doesn't take the envelope of cash, like whatever he's going to report you for. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, whatever he's going to write you up for or she's going to write you up for, like there's no excuse for it. Like that's a violation, right? You got a bunch of dead cockroaches on your countertop. There's nothing you're going to say there to be like, well, you don't really understand the blah, 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 blah. No. They're against the rule. Stan said, I had to laugh at hearing Gary McFadden, a Democrat, complaining about media coverage bias. Yeah, that was. It is always comical to me as well. Kirk said the guy is full of stuff. Pete, you were really riling up people today with the Norm McDonald clips about OJ's guilt. I guess either people never heard the jurors or didn't understand the verdict had little to do with OJ. And then he gives me an audio clip of one of the jurors. Right. Yeah. So yeah, some people have not been happy with me playing the Norm McDonald clips of the OJ Simpson coverage. But here's the thing. During that trial and through the verdict and even afterwards, right, Norm McDonald was one of the only people that sort of like regrounded everybody with those jokes at the time to point out how absolutely absurd the media circus, the court proceedings, right? This belief that he didn't really do it. And by the way, that still persists in particularly the African-American community. There's a large portion of Black Americans that don't believe he did it. The DNA evidence is overwhelming, right? If it had happened today, right, like he would have been geolocated. Everything would have been like, it would have been way different. It just would have been way different. I would like to think so. But also the atmosphere was different. There was, the politics of the time were different. You know, holding the powerful accountable kind of thing was different. All of this stuff was different. So, I don't know. I had to talk about it this morning on a radio station up in Raleigh and Greensboro, but it's the purpose of the jokes was to mock O.J. Simpson and his defenders. Right, that was the whole point. Obviously, it's not to make light of the fact that he murdered two people, which is what he did. He and his defense team were doing. Some sad news. The Golden Bachelor and his new bride have broken up. They are getting a divorce. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.